Today I'm going to scare you. And as everyone who ever watched a horror movie knows, the horror movies that are most scary are not the ones that are like gory and fake, but the ones that are...
Well,
closer to reality. And not that I mean horror movies, Chas v'Shalom, but I'm going to scare you because, as I like to do, I talk about things that are on my mind. And today, on my mind, I don't know if you guys get the Makor Rishon? Yeah? So...
See the selling dots on the...
Yes. In the Nashi magazine. It's here.
What?
I'll show it with you.
In the Nashi magazine.
All right, but it's not really about them. It's a.
There's a big picture of them, but it's not because of them. The selling dots.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's been a media blitz about what's called Datlashim. You can see here, this is a new Tarbut magazine put out by Makor Rishon, which is actually quite good. It's a very good magazine. And the title is...
Comes with Makor Rishon?
Well, if you get the magazine, if you get the Chabilat magazines, you have to also get the magazine. Okay? And the headline is called B'mishpachot Hachi Tovot, which means...
In the
best of families. Okay?
All right,
the reasons. And it's like a long article about this, the phenomenon of what's called Datlash. Datlash is Dati L'Shavar. And how this idea of Datlashim... Dati L'Shavar used to be firm.
Well, they
don't like that term, Chozim B'Sheila. Because Chozim B'Sheila means you had a Sheila, then you didn't have a Sheila, and then you're Chozim B'Sheila. So they don't like that term. They call them Datlashim. And it's clearly a phenomenon. I mean, it's clearly a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon.
Off the
derrick. Yeah, off the derrick. What do they call it in America? What are they called? They call it not... Like youth at risk, which is a nice way of saying...
Youth at risk.
Not what they call themselves. No. Right? Dati L'Shavar is more of a... It's a more accurate term. Like they used to be firm. They don't want to be firm anymore. Okay. So then... And then last week, even better, in another for Makor Rishon magazine they put out, it's called the Diyukan. I don't even know how you translate Diyukan. Okay? This is like the new newspaper supplement.
Are you doing
achuzim
on all the shivuk you're doing for
Makor Rishon? Yeah. This is your budget by Makor Rishon. Just so you, whatever, okay. It's an article about a movie put out, said these names, I'll say them. Avinair, Tsohar, Bigman, and Wasserman. These are very big names in the firm community, big rabbinic names. Shemot shebederech klal holchim im ha-kidomet harav. Right, these are names that usually go with the term harav. Harav Avinair, Harav Bigman. These are well-known families in the religious community. Al tishalu maze asal lebanot shel otam rabbanim. Don't ask what happened to the daughters of these rabbis. And it's an article about one of the rabbis' daughters went to Ma'aleh, the film school in Yerushalayim, and she did a film about the other three who were Datlashim, whether they call her or not, or who went off the derech, as you were. Right? So now there's this media blitz about this phenomenon in the religious community about Datlashim, about kids who go off the derech. So this is like, you know... The Nose al Haperek. You know what I'm saying?
Are they really off the derech? Are they off the derech relative to their parents?
Yeah, some of them yes, some of them no. Meaning it's a very broad category. You know, one of them was like, well, I still keep Shabbos and Kash and Chagim, but you know, I don't really do exactly. It's just a dress like your parents, so who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes it's relative, from
the American community are much more have a much broader definition of religiosity. But it's not said just because we define it in a certain way, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you define it a certain way, Shalom Uvracha. Okay, Tom. I don't know what he's saying. He's going to work. Okay. So, but in the Israeli community, especially the different communities that you live, it's not so true. I would actually like in many religious Zionists, many Dati Tzioni communities are much closer to what Haredi is in America. Much, much closer. You know, just... There are some nuances, some differences.
Just so we can pass through that.
Yeah, but it's a different uniform, but much more. And the kids who choose their own path or choose a more modern path. So imagine like a Lakewood family, right? You know, I don't know what's the equivalent.
Okay, so called the screen guy.
Right, very, very well. We would call right wing family. And so just an example. So my nephew who grew up in Lakewood, he just joined Tzahal and he got into Tzanchanim. So I'm like, right, you know what I'm saying? It's really what he needs. I think that it's good for him. But from my sister's perspective, she's very, very nervous. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine, think about from a Lakewood family, what it means that your son went and joined the Israeli army? It's just a...
not
even the ones that go to Nach Haredi.
I'm saying, but they're rejected by their
parents. Correct. So my sister doesn't do that. I mean, that's her business. But you have to understand where they're coming from. But this, so this phenomenon is very much bo'er, very very much burning in their religious community. What do you do? And the headline here, right? B'mishpachot hachi tovot is accurate, and that's why it's so scary. The best of families. You know what I'm saying? So you say to someone, oh, it's the rabbi's children because they pressured them too much and they felt forced to and they felt coerced. So that's why, you know, but then again, you say, but it's not true because you take the opposite side of the spectrum where it wasn't forced and it wasn't whatever. There's no set rules. It's not like you can say, oh, if I do X, Y, and Z, then I'm sure my beautiful children will turn out exactly like they want them. It's not like that. It's not magic. You know what I'm saying? And it's something that we all are concerned with and aware of, and I don't even know that the scary part is they're going to come and say, okay, so what do I do? Sorry. There's no answers. It's not like that. It doesn't really work that way. But I guess the shiur we're going to discuss, this is a parsha shiur, is to discuss that this is not a new phenomenon. This isn't something that's new. It's something that's as old as time and even predated the Jewish people. So if I'd ask you, who is the first datlash in Jewish history? What? Well, Lot came before Esav. Lot. That's Machloket, actually. That might be true.
Ishmael.
Right? Ishmael. And who is from, like, how do you say it?
But he's from a mixed marriage.
B'mishpachot hachi tovot.
He's from a mixed marriage.
Before birth.
What?
Right. He's kind of destined before birth to follow that.
Really? That's how we say it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
he didn't come from it. Parents were two different
directions.
And look what happened.
You know, his mother came from one place, his father came from another.
So today we're going to discuss Ishmael. We're going to look at some Parshanim and Ishmael. We're going to look at some amazing midrashim, an amazing midrash from the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer about Abraham and his relationship to Ishmael. We're going to see that it's not so. And we're going to discuss this issue of datlashim. You know what I'm saying?
You know? Was that it was not necessarily dependent on their parenting skills. Like,
it's
already kind of.
What's that?
I mean,
nothing Avraham Avinu could have done. Nothing he could have done to make his son grow up faithful to God. Really?
He was one of the best parents.
Yeah, well, that's another issue entirely. Avraham Avinu was a forefather.
But our view of parenting is an issue.
What?
His mother was Hagar.
So what?
So she had a totally different influence on him from a completely different perspective.
Let's see. All right, very good.
Everyone would like that. Everyone, take advantage.
Ra, you mean nature and nurture. Yeah, right.
Yes, they're both boys brought up in the same sviva, in the same home environment, but they both had different genes.
Okay, we'll discuss it. Okay, let's look at, we're going to start with Chayisara, and then we also have to go back to Vayera, and we'll see some of the Midrashim, and some of the Parshanim, those of you who have them. Start in, we're going to go to the end of the Parsha, turn to, one second, Perek Kaf Hei, chapter 25. We're going to do a little bit of skipping around, maybe more than a little bit, but that's okay. 25, chapter 25 in Chayisara, it's the end of Chayisara. Perek Pasuk Aleph. So we're going to come back to Pasuk Aleph. Vayosef Avraham. Are you with me? Should I wait a second?
1:6.
Chapter 25.
Okay.
Vayosef Avraham vayikach isha ushma keturah. Avraham, after he marries off Yitzchak to Rivka, okay, he finds, he goes, Vayosef Avraham adds on and he marries a woman whose name is Keturah. Who is Keturah? Okay, Rashi says, Zo Hagar. When he created Keturah, al shem shenaim maaseha kiktoret. A second, what says it? Somebody tell me that Ishmael grew up in the family of Hagar, and therefore that's why he went bad? All of a sudden we have this woman. Rashi says her name is Keturah. Right? But she's really Hagar. Why is she called Keturah? Na'e maaseha kiktoret. She's wonderful. She's a wonderful person. She has great ma'asim. Ukeshe kashra pitcha shelon nizdavga la'adam yom shepersha ma'Avraham. Okay? She found it. Oh, you found it. That's Maria's favorite toy. Okay. Okay. And she tied her womb. Just leave it. It'll stop in a minute.
Okay.
When she tied her womb, You know what? Put it on the shelf. Yeah, put it on the shelf. Okay. And he's like, whoa, where did you get that from? Okay. Yeah, can I have another one? Okay. And she tired a woman, she wouldn't marry anybody else. Meaning, Abraham is like her first love. She always loved Abraham. And no matter what, even after he sent her away, she would stay with him. Okay, we're going to go back to the sending away. And let's just read. Vatevel lo et zimran, vet yakshan, vet midan, vet midyan, vet yishbak, vet suach. She had a lot of kids. V'yachshan yalad et sheva v'edidan u'bnei didan hayu ashirim u'letushim u'le'umim. U'bnei midyan eifa v'eifer v'chanoch v'avida u'le'adan kol ele b'nei ketira. She had a lot of kids. You know what I'm saying? Afterwards. So Abraham was married to this woman for many years. Okay? V'yitain la'Abraham et kol asher lo yitzchak. So Abraham gives everything to Yitzchak. V'livnei ha'pidakshim asher la'Abraham natan Abraham matanot. He gave them parting gifts. The original parting gift, because they were parting. And he sent them away. Okay? So Abraham lived the life to the ripe old age of 175. And he, I don't even know what that means. And he
expired.
And he croaked. What is it? What's the next word? Vayamot.
Died.
And he died. Expired and died?
Why twice?
What does that mean? And he expired and he died. Right? He died and he died. It seems that, how do they translate it in the Silverman and the whatever?
What did I say,
Lord?
Expired.
And he expired and he died. Rashi says he got sick and he died. But okay. Definitely ill. But Yamat Avraham
b'seiva tova zakein. Yosef was the first one. I mean, Yaakov was the first one to get ill.
Midra says he got b'nei me'ayim. He got, like, you know, intestinal illness of some kind. Okay? Vayamat. No, I think Yaakov wanted to get old. He has to get old.
Or,
yeah. What's that? Vayigva.
In modern Hebrew,
I'm dying. Right, he got to be. Vayigva means, and he's started to die, I guess. Right, that sounds accurate. Okay? Beseva tova zaken v'savea. Of old age, right? In seva tova, he was sated. Old and complete. Vayesav elamav, and he died, but he gathered to his people. Tet. Now here's where we get something interesting. Vayikbru oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav. El mi'arat ha-machbela el sedei Ephron ben Tzohar ha-chiti asher al-panei mamre. Yitzchak and Yishmael, his sons, buried him in the Marat ha-machbela, in the sedei of Ephron ben Tzohar ha-chiti, that was in the face of Mamre. Okay, we're not doing it this week, but obviously this is the Shabbat Chevron, right? This is the Shaparsha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Avraham Avinu's purchase of Chevron. It's a connection to Chevron. A lot of people go to Chevron this Shabbos.
They open up the sides where we're not usually allowed.
Do they? The Shabbat Chevron? Very nice. Actually, I have a new shot in the beginning of this week's Parsha from a section I heard in This American Life, in this podcast that I listen to, but you can read it on the blog if you're interested. Okay. What's wrong with this pasuk?
We all the other children.
Well, he sent them away.
He sent Ishmael away many, many years before.
What's wrong with this pasuk?
They're together. The brothers are together.
So articulate what's wrong with this pasuk.
And they were separated. The parents wanted Yitzchak's mother wanted him separated from Ishmael. She wanted him to have nothing to do with it, none of the influence. And despite what they did, the brothers still obviously connected.
You're giving answers. What's wrong with the pasuk? Ask the question.
Why is Ishmael there?
Where does Yitzchak come from? What? All of a sudden, Yishmael and...
How did he know?
Well, how did he know? Right, Abraham sent him away years ago. Ages ago. What in the world?
He still has a connection with his
mother. What?
He still has a connection with his mother.
So you're saying when his mother came... What?
But there were not telegrams or anything.
No, but he sent mother and son away. He didn't just send his son away.
He married to his mother.
What's that?
Is
Hagar.
Is Hagar, so then it makes sense.
Want to hear something actually shocking? Do you know who got the two together again, the old couple, Abraham and Hagar?
Sarah?
No, Sarah died. Just hold, Yitzchak, hold your place for a second. It's a very, very interesting pasuk. Hold your place for a second. Look on Perek Chaf Dalid, okay? Pasuk Samach Bet. 62. Last parak, Pasuk Samach Bet. You can move the bed. Okay. This is going to blow your mind. You see where I am? Pasuk Samach Bet. V'Yitzchak Ba, when Rivka's coming on the caravan with Eliezer. Okay. Eliezer. Did anybody else get that joke? Nobody else listening to 613 Tara Avenue growing up as a kid? I'm really old. Okay. Nobody else listened to 613 Tara Avenue?
You're just really American.
I listened to that record. You're younger than me. That record many times.
What? We don't know what you're all about. Perush Americana for us.
613 Tara Avenue?
Yeah. What is
America? Really? It was a record.
A record?
No, I grew up in Washington. What? You never heard of it either?
No.
This is classic Judaica. This is like must listen to. Your kids will love it.
It's never important.
It's time to learn.
Okay.
No, it was it's before Uncle Moishi, well before each parsha. Then on the parsha. This is like.
I feel like a bit of an Amma Arif.
I feel so old. It's like so sad.
We had Billy Marley.
What?
I'm older than you, but I still.
It's 13th Tower Avenue. This is like. Walk.
Village
Reef. Nobody. Okay. Anyway, it's very New York-y, but it's great. Nice things on the parsha. Really nice things. Yahusha, there was like Hashem. Nobody? Yitzchak Ba. I'm going to have to find this and make you all listen to it. No, it's not a video. It's an audio. It was a record. And then later they put it on a tape for what? We'll have to check on the internet. I'm sure it's somewhere.
Next week, sure.
I'm going to send it out and make everybody listen to it. Who? Yoshev Be'eretz. It's very clever. It's this kid who comes to Torah Avenue. He moved, obviously, from outside of New York to Torah Avenue in New York, clearly.
From okay. 15.
And he moved to 615. He walks down the street, and everything he meets a street lamp, he meets a fire hydrant, and they all tell him about the parsha. And the fire hydrant is the water, and the street lamp is the light. And they all have like a little ditty on each parsha. It's lovely. It's really, it's wonderful. Nobody? You're all looking at me like I'm crazy. Okay. Yitzchak ba miber lachai ro'i. Where's Yitzchak coming from? They happen to be like, Eliezer is coming along, and they happen to come to ber lachai ro'i. Wherever, like that be'er is like, nobody knows what that be'er is. Okay, be'er, a well, lachai, for the living, ro'i, to see. Where is a living well that where it was seen? So the Mepharshim deal with the struggle with this. We don't have the record of this be'er lachai ro'i. And Yitzchak was coming from there. What did Yitzchak do wherever he was when he was there? What does Yitzchak do? What's his thing?
He couldn't see.
Oh, Yitzchak could see. He didn't get blind until later. What does Yitzchak do? His big thing is davening. Okay, because it says by Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. Yitzchak went lasuach. The Gemara, very famous Gemara in Brachot, says ein sicha ela tefila. And basadeh also, it's in the field. Al iske sadeh. Yitzchak davened the Beis Hamikdash. The sadeh, the field of Hashem. I mean, it's very important to know about these things. Where in the world is Be'er Lachai Ro'i the Yitzchak was coming from? Look at Rashi. Dibo Be'er Lachai Ro'i. Shocking Rashi. Shuhalach Lahavi Hagar LaAvraham Aviv Shiyisa'ena. Be'er Lachai Ro'i, who saw the living God at a Be'er?
Hagar.
Remember, like, and what happened at that Be'er? Her son was dying. And a Malach appeared to her, and the well miraculously appeared. So Yitzchak said, this is a well. You want to find God? You go to that well. So they look, they see this illusion of Yitzchak coming from the Be'er Lachai Ro'i, the wellspring of the living God, seeing God, that's Hagar. So who went to bring Hagar back to his father? Yitzchak wanted to remarry his father to Hagar. Where in the world does that come from? Very strange, isn't it? Like, you know, who is Keturah? Who has ma'asim that are na'im kiketoret? Wonderful ma'asim.
Maybe her name changed.
Maybe her full name changes when a personality changes.
Excellent. Very nice. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
I think Midrash said she went back to her old ways when she left his household.
other midrash. She went back to her old ways.
No, I don't think she was raised.
Okay, let's go back. We're gonna do some jumping. Skip back to Parakav. Hey, so we had a question. We're stuck on the question. Where in the world did Yishmael come from? Look at Rashi. Rashi, Yishmael, where did Yishmael appears? We never saw Yishmael until now. Yitzchak v'Yishmael. See Rashi on Pasuk Tet? Mikan, we learn Sha'asa Yishmael Tshuva. Yishmael did Tshuva. V'holich et Yitzchak lefanav. And if you look at the order of the Pasuk, V'yikberu oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav. Really it should be, V'yikberu oto Yishmael v'Yitzchak banav. Says Rashi, no. From where we saw the thing that Yishmael did Tshuva, V'holich et Yitzchak lefanav. He brought Yitzchak before him. V'hi seivat tova sh'ne'amar b'Avraham. Says, Vayigiva Abraham died b'seiva tova. What's the real seiva tova?
That they were back together.
Love Davka back together.
That
Yishmael did tshuva. And I think there's a deep truth to that. That we live to certain ideals. You know what I'm saying? We want our children to be happy. We want them to be well balanced. But we also, if our religiosity is an inherent part of who we are, it's critically important that our children follow in the path that we live. When a child rejects that way of life and says, "Well, you know, that's good for you, but I'm not interested in your faith, in your belief," it's just painful. And I'm sure it's probably even more painful to have the entire religious Zionist world talking about you afterwards because some girl decided to do a movie about it. But that's the world in which we live. You know what I'm saying?
It's also true the other way. The same thing when it probably comes about
Shuvah. Okay. Really?
You've essentially rejected what your parents did. Their value system you've rejected in favor of something else.
Which is?
It's a Torah value. I'm not saying... But it's still from the parent perspective. What do you mean? You're taking on this religious life and you're giving up this and you're giving up that and what are you doing, all the restrictions you're putting on yourself?
I agree that it's hard. What's interesting is I agree that it's hard because...
You ever heard the expression, I'd rather my kid marry a goy than become from? Very common among secular Jews. The idea of their kids embracing Judaism is frightening to them.
Hmm. Is it because it's a cult? Are they afraid of being alienated by their kids? Or is it really that my question is like this. Is it a sense of values, rejected values? Meaning I'm a liberal person, I want to try all things, blah, 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 and here you go and choose this. Or it's a sense of the fear of alienation.
Archaic, we've grown so much since then.
Yeah.
It goes both ways. I mean,
fair enough.
It's also a judgment. Your life wasn't good enough.
But we're right.
My point in saying that is, I think, you know, it's the same experience either way. Obviously, from our perspective, we would rather our kids continue.
I have heard of, like in America, there are support groups for people whose kids are Bali Tshuva, which I think is very fair, very reasonable. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going through this experience. Yeah, but I'm not unsympathetic to that parental thing. But
you know, like when your kids won't even eat in your own home.
Right. Correct.
I stopped reading a magazine. There's a certain from magazine that's put out, and I stopped reading it when there was an article on this woman.
You can say which magazine.
How she became from because all of her siblings were marrying out, so she went the other way and she became from, and how terrible it was that it was mamash Thanksgiving time. And her mother did all these things for her to eat in her house, and she wouldn't eat it. And
really?
I read this article going, where's your rug? Any rug will tell you what you can and cannot do and how to be able to eat in your parents' home, because the whole concept of kibbutz of aim is so much greater than anything else that when this woman lost that sight of that.
Rina said that she told me she once met a woman, I don't remember where she met her, who was originally from France. And when she moved to Israel, she deliberately did not teach her children French. She did not want them to be French-speaking because she was afraid that as they grew up, they'd want to go back to France and they'd go to university there and they'd intermarry or whatever. So, you know, I'm saying there's this balance. This is the discussion. On the one hand, the allegiance and the belief and the faith in that which we believe. And on the other hand, the fear of losing your children to the influences of the outside world. And to what extent, must we go in order to prevent that from happening? As well, now let's skip back. Yishmael, obviously, so now according to the Torah, Yishmael is the first Baal Tshuva in history. Right? He is a Baal Tshuva. He was raised from from parents. He's raised from him, clearly. He lost. He went off the derech. As you know, off the derech. And then Rashi says he became a Baal Tshuva. He's the first Baal Tshuva. And that's what Seiva Tova. It's a very interesting Rashi that this is Seiva Tova. Avraham had everything. But there was this, like, you know, part of him in Yishmael that was still painful. You know, and when Yishmael came back, that's really all he wanted. That's really what he most desired. When we see Yishmael, by the way, before this, where do we see allusion to Yishmael? Anybody know? Where do we see Yishmael? Before this is an allusion to Yishmael. Anybody know? Rashi says, it's very interesting, that when Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak to Har HaMoriah for Akedat Yitzchak, it says he came with Ushnei Ne'arav Imo. He took the Shnei Ne'arim. Who are the Shnei Ne'arim? Eliezer and Yishmael. Right, the Yishmael is already part of the entourage. Yishmael had come back.
I just thought it was Eliezer and Yitzchak.
No, Yitzchak was left behind. It says, right? It says, one second, I'll just don't turn to this because we're going to do even more turning. It says that, one second. It says, Vayomer Avraham el Ne'arab, Shvu lachem po imachamor. You guys stay here with the donkey, said to the Ne'arim. So Rashi says, El Ne'arab, Shnei Ne'arab imo, Shnei Ne'arab Yishmael ve'Eliezer. It's explicit in Rashi. That's Yishmael. So Yishmael was there. Okay, let's go back to, obviously, in order to really understand this, if you want to understand the Baal Tshuva, you have to look at what happened, the Datlash, like what happened to Yishmael originally. So there's a machloket about what happened to Yishmael originally. Turn back to Parshat Vayera, Perek Chaf Bet. No, not Perek Chaf Bet, Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 20. Chapter 21, Pasuk 9. I'll need this in a bit, but if you want to follow, Chaf Aleph 10. Vatera, the famous story. Vatera Sarah et Hagar Hamitzrit. It's not here. It's going to be a different back. Et Ben Hagar Hamitzrit, Asher Yalda La Avraham Mitzachek. Okay. Hagar, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who was born to Abraham, Mitzachek. Obviously, that's a very loaded term. It's loaded and vague. What's the pshat? And then we're going to hear the drash. What's the pshat, Mitzachek? First, we'll do the simple translation. He was laughing. Mitzachek is not laughing. Mitzachek.
Making fun of.
Litzachek means?
Someone else?
To cause to laugh. Okay, Mitzachek means to cause to laugh. The obviously the term laughter, people have done doctorates on this, and I kid you not, about the appearance of the term to laugh throughout, it appears in very different terms, like, you know, and Sarah, we see it before here. It's called Asher Yishama, she named him Yitzchak Li. Vatikrat Shemo Yitzchak. So the term laughter is a very vague term that has many, many interpretations. So obviously our fundamental question here is, what in the world does it mean, Mitzachik? So what's a pshat? Give me Rashbam or Ibn Ezra on there.
It's a Rashi, but...
Rashi's not pshat. Remember that? We discussed this many times. Rashi's not the simple pshat. Rashi is the pshat of the Midrash. That's the Chamalei Bash. Right, she didn't want to leave him there. She didn't want to leave him there. One second. Where are you, in Rashbam or Ibn Ezra?
Rashbam.
On Pasuk Tet? Lo ratza lahashoto od. Listen to what she says. Shekvar gadal harbe. He grew up. Velo ratza lahashoto od. Okay? She didn't want to keep him there. Pen yirtzeh lahachzik biyirushat aviv im Yitzchak. What's the issue? What the pshat issue is the Yerusha. Right? She, on the one hand, her husband was upset. He was in trouble. He couldn't have children, so she wanted to have a child through Yitzchak. It was Ibaneh. It was very common in those days. You can't have a child. You have like a surrogate motherhood. Who will bear the child? But. And Hagar had a place, and she saw that this child wasn't her child. This child was Hagar's child. So the fight was about a Yerusha. Lo Yerush b'di'im b'ni'im Yitzchak. That's a simple interpretation. Okay? Of course. What? Shot? Did Ibn Ezra say something? I don't even see if there is an Ibn Ezra on this.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Do I have a minute from here?
Yeah.
Did he say something? Mitzachek? Kikein min hakol na'ar. Right? What was he doing? He was joking around. One second. Right? Is there anything inherently bad? She was jealous because her son was
younger.
Older. Well, her son was younger than Yishmael. Right? He sees Metzachek, even as it says very simply, he's acting like a teenager. He's older. He's more mature. He's more established. And it's a threat to Yitzchak, to her son, who's a little baby. That's a simple pshat. Come along, Rashi, Metzachek. So, according to the pshat, is there anything wrong with Yishmael?
No.
Nothing wrong. Not a bad boy. He's fine. Except, he's not Sarah's son. Rashi Mitzachek.
Lashon Avodah Zarah.
Lashon Avodah Zarah. Kumo Shneemar. What's that? She calls him Ben HaMitzri. Right. Meaning, she says, the language is very brutal. She refuses, and look at the language, you're right. She says, Vatera Sarah et ben Hagar HaMitzrit. She doesn't see him as her husband's son. She sees this boy as the daughter, the son of the Egyptian. Okay? And she says, Vatama Abraham Garesh Ha'amahazot ve'et bina. Get rid of this maidservant and her son. Get him out. Get them out. One second. And look at the next pasuk, Yudale. Vayira Devava Od Bene Abraham Al Odot Bino. Right? He says, that's my son. And she says, it's the Mitzri. So the symbol of Shad is, it's an issue of Yerusha. Rashi says, nothing doing. The Midrash says, it's not about Yerusha at all. It's about spirituality. It's about religiosity. Look at Rashi again. Mitzachek Lashon Avodah Zarah. Kemoshe Ne'emar, as it says, Vayakumu Litzachek. Who got up Litzachek? Who is that? What's that a quote from? See Rashi? Who are those people that are Bayakumu Letzachik? That got up to make merry, to make mirth. What's that? That's right. The Jewish people, when they built the Egel HaZahav, the Torah uses the exact same language, Bayakumu Letzachik. So it's not a stretch. That language of Litzachik, to make mirth, to make merry, right, is in the context of Avodah Zarah. One of the things that they say about Avodah Zarah, idolatry, the worship of the idolatry, came with it in the context of hedonism, of physicality, of all the, you know what I'm saying, that's part of the experience and the worship of idolatry. Okay? Rashi says also, Davar Acher, Gilui Arayot, Kamo Deteima Litzachek Bi. Right? Did you come Litzachek Bi to kill me, to murder me? Davar Acher, Lashon Ritzicha. That's the story of Shmuel Bet, where I think it's the forces of David and the forces of Ishbosheth. Remember, there was this question about who would take over the monarchy. Would it be David or the descendants of Shaul after Shaul is dead? And Yoav said, "Hey, let's play." And it turns out it turns from a mock battle into a full scale, you know, war. Right? He says, "Let's play paintball." And then all of a sudden they start shooting with real guns. That's really what happened in the story. They're around this, you know, this well, this around this pool, and at first it's like, oh, I bet my guys can beat your guys. And then it turns into, you know, deadly. Well, what's the language they use? Litzachek. So says Rashi, based on the Midrash, what did Esav engage in? Gee. What?
Yishmael.
Sorry, thank you. What did Yishmael engage in?
Freudian.
What is Zara? Gilo Ariot? Shfichu Damim. Right, which just so happened to be what we like to call the big three. Okay, so the Midrash says, if you ask the Midrash, what kind of person was Yishmael?
A murderer.
The worst kind of person. Who engaged in the worst kinds of behaviors that no Jewish person would ever consider engaging in. He was murderous, he was idolatrous, he was licentious. Right, you know what I'm saying? It's not by coincidence that the Midrash... What's that? You can say it. I'm not going to say it. Okay. He was not all of them. He was murderous. He was the worst. Yishmael. Now, by the way, it is interesting. When you look at Midrashim, you cannot divorce Midrashim from their historical context. Sadly, it's hard to do that for Yishmael because Yishmael only rose as a historical force well after the close of the Midrash. And when did Muhammad rise to power? When did he rise to power? 9th century? 10th century? Right. Well after the Midrash closed. So to say that Ishmael was not a serious historical force in the times that the Midrash Chazal lived. So we're looking at it historically and saying, oh, you know what I'm saying? When you look at Esav, Esav represents Rome, represents Christianity, represents everything that was against Judaism. You can't say that about Ishmael. Because Ishmael only rose as a powerful force much, 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 much later. If the Midrash were written now, then you would say, oh, you know, of course, it would be commentary about Ishmael, about our day. And you see it now. Right? If you look at nowadays commentaries, if you look at Parshat HaShavua, you'll talk about Ishmael and Esav. Ishmael, specifically, Ishmael takes on a much much broader historical context, which you don't see today. Nonetheless, what was Ishmael like? He was the worst. He was he was the worst. He did all the terrible things. He was the most sinful. He did the worst sins. It's not like he spoke Lashon Hara. It's not like, you know what I'm saying, every now and then he would eat at a restaurant without hashgacha. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you know, he was the worst. He was terrible. Okay? There's only one problem with saying that. Terrible problem. What? Slicha! Mehamishpachot hachitovot! He wasn't from a good family.
The best.
He was from the best family, right? You know what I'm saying?
That's like,
you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. That's the problem. What do you do with that? One second. Okay. Where did I see this? I'm looking for a certain midrash. Here we are. Dabar Acher, 1 second, Rashi says, there's another pshat. The simple pshat is, 1 second, Ein Tzcho Ka'amur Kan Ela Yerusha. Right? Mitzachek, are you kidding? I saw it in a stronger language. I have to see where I found it. I think maybe in the Ma'am Lois. Like, Chas V'Shalom, that Avraham's son, let me see, 1 second, Lot Nehmeh. Oh, here we are. Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. I found it. Chas v'shalom shebebeitel shel Avraham yasu averot ka'elu. Are you joking? Well, you think Avraham Avinu's son would engage in such behavior and not know it? Meaning, like, in the Midrashim, right, they portray, like, it's very interesting, Sarah realized it, and Avraham didn't. How is it possible? You could see later on, okay, Yitzchak knew what Esav was, didn't know what Esav was like, and Rivka did. Why could you say that? Because Yitzchak was blind. Literally blind. And he wanted his children to, he wanted to believe something about his son that he didn't see. And Esav was very respectful. And Esav hid the things. He went out in the field to do the stuff. And Ishmael, really, to be an Oved Avodah Zarah, and Sheikh Adami Megillah Arayot, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not so easy to hide that. When he came home, and he put on his black hat, and his big yarmulke, and he wore the payas, and then when he went out, he only did those things, and Avraham didn't ask him, hey, where are you going, and how come I smell alcohol on your breath, and you know what I'm saying, what's the blood on your knife, you know, he didn't ask those questions.
Or maybe Avraham was too busy doing
kiruv, see, that's the problem, the rabbi is so involved in the community responsibilities that he doesn't even see his own children, except what about the other children, you know what I'm saying, they this is the horror movie. And no, you're being devil's advocate, but this is why this is such a scary thing. This is why it's so scary, because there's no answers. There's no pat answers. It's not like, oh, well, see, it's only the rabbinic family. No, no, no.
And maybe Avraham didn't have enough. We learn from the psychologist today that acceptance and love is the most important thing. And that you have to oversee certain things that maybe not so.
I'll read you. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Chas v'Shalom, Avraham Avinu Yasu Averot Ka'elu. It's not possible. Sherei Ha'enoheg b'chassidut yetera, Avraham was a righteous man. U'b'shum panim lo haya Yishmael me'iz la'asot kach. There's no way Yishmael would do that. So what does Mitzachek therefore mean? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says. No. What was he really laughing about? What was the laughter about? He was scoffing and saying,
impossible.
What? It was about Yerusha. He says he was scoffing and saying, ha ha, that kid, very nice, very nice. It's mine. I'm your Rish. And the pshat is, I cannot accept the Midrash. I cannot accept that Ishmael went to Tarbut Ra'ah. Except. I mean, the Kliyakar says it this way. He says it very interestingly. One second. See if I can find the Kliyakar here. We're going to get to the end of the Kliyakar. He says, No, no, no. That's not what he says. He doesn't say it in that context. We'll get back to the Kli Yakar in the end. So there's a machloket even about Avraham Avinu. Is it possible that Yishmael went off the derech? Or not? But it seems in Chazal, so according to Pshat, he did not. According to Chazal, he did. He was a datlash. He said, Dad, very nice, that's you, but I have to find myself. I need to find my inner self and my heritage and my roots. And I have this nature, and I'm going to follow my needs, and I'm going to do what's inherent in me. And Avraham said, well, I got to send you away. Of course, why do you have to send him away? Why did Sarah say, Ki lo yirash im b'ni im Yitzchak? Very good. You know what I'm saying? One second. Blah, 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 blah. 1 second. Okay.
Later on, kind of agrees, because if Hashem didn't say to Avraham, listen to Sarah, then we might think it was Mugzam, that, yeah, the Pshat is wrong. But Hashem agrees. He says, listen, you've got to get this kid away. Meaning, and that's Pshat.
Which only raises another interesting question, which is, if Avraham, meaning once you raise this, what? Why didn't Avram try to bring him back? Maybe Avram didn't realize. Maybe he didn't see what kind of kid Yishmael was.
To me, like an intrinsic difference between fathers and mothers. Mothers see things differently than fathers. You know, there's a concept that if a man brings home a guest into his house and his wife says something about it and the wife doesn't, the man has to listen to his wife because she has that bina, she has that insight.
I found my Kli Yakar. Bim Tamar. So let's just say, Avram was like, Adaraba. Shema Yitzchak Yahavchov Yachzir Ola Mutav. But there's Yitzchak, and he's gonna bring him back. He's gonna show him the way. Brotherly love. He's gonna bring him back. Al Ze Amra. This is what she said. Yadati b'nevuah. I know in prophecy. Ki lo yirash im b'ni. This is what she said. She said lo yirash im b'ni. It's not gonna work. Abraham, I know what you want. I know what you think might happen. It's not gonna happen. Okay? He's not going to follow through. And therefore, there is the chash, the worry. Why do we have to send him this kid away? Why do we have to reject him?
So he doesn't influence Yitzchak.
Send him away. Now, of course, the only problem with that nevuah that Kli Yakar said she had is, I know he's not going to go back. But of course,
he did
do it. We did. He was Chozer B'tshuva. So what happened to our nevuah? And in the end, he does end up with Yitzchak. These are not, meaning, the lines are not clear. It's like, oh, we'd like to say, send him away, because it's going to go bad. And I know I have a nevuah that he's going to go bad. But he did go bad, but in the end, what happened? He came back. So what happened to our nevuah that he's going to go bad? And how did he come back? How did he come back? He came back before the Akedah. There's an unbelievable, not so well-known midrash. And actually, I heard once in the context of a rabbinic seminar given by Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter. He wrote a beautiful, the story of Hagar appears in we read it on Rosh Hashanah. So, you know, Rabbi Schachter, if you ever heard him speak, he's a master darshan, he's terrific, he's wonderful. So he gave a drasha about this midrash. I don't know if I ever gave it, but anybody who heard that, it's like a beautiful midrash. Okay, so Avraham, of course, it says Avraham was very upset when he sent away his son. So the midrash says, 1 second, liyamim, right? Remember, Sarah said, get him away. He's got to get away. He's danger, right? And it is a concern. You know what I'm saying? What do you do? This is a concern that obviously all parents have whose children decide not to follow in your path. You want to love your children. You want to cherish your child. But to what degree do you let your child remain in the home? Like, and all of a sudden, let's say, God forbid, like the oldest child decides they don't want to be religious. So now the oldest child is going to stay in your home, and all the other children are now going to start asking, how come he doesn't have to wear a yarmulke? How come this kid doesn't have to daven? How come he doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, why are you making me do it? Like, it's a real question. It's a real struggle. Let's not minimize the challenge that presents. It's really difficult. Says the Midrash, Liyamim Amar Avraham L'Sara Ishto. This is today. I think it's from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Liamim, in time, Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "Ani rotze lelech v'lirot et Yishmael, shenashalti oto mikan. I want to go see my son. Ki sof sof hu b'ni. Because in the end, he's my son." Meaning, Abraham sent him away. So we have this impression: Abraham sent him away, and we never hear from him again. Oh, you think Abraham didn't think about his son? You think he didn't yearn? Sof sof hu b'ni. Amar lo Sarah sheyelech l'shalom. Sarah says, okay, you can go. Because she sets the rules, obviously, because Hashem said, you got to do whatever Sarah says. Aval al yered min hagamal leshev ba'ohalo. Ala b'va'o yidrosh b'shalomo v'yachzor. You can drive to his house. You can ask about him, but you can't get out of the car. And you don't get off the camel. Go, find out how he is, and then go home. Now Abraham, nitchayev b'shvu'a la'asot pekeh parah. Abraham swore that he would do what she said. V'hu bachar achat agmalot hakalot, he chose a nice, fast camel. V'halach l'midbar l'chapes et Yishmael. And he went to go search for his son. Like, this is a very different Abraham than the one that we knew who sent his son away.
Sent a servant
to find. Okay, so he heard he's dwelling in the tent, but he didn't know which tent. So in the afternoon, one afternoon, he found a tent. He found a woman with children. So he says, where's Ishmael? Amra einenu po. He's not here. Ki halach im imo el hatzayit. He took his mother to go hunting. I don't know why the mother's going hunting, but okay. Amar la biti tnili ma'at mayim ki ani ayef ad mavet min haderach. He says, can you give me some water? I'm dying of thirst. Amra lo ein li mishi ten mayim v'lechem lech ledarkecha. I don't have any water or bread for you. Get out of here. Abraham didn't like what he heard. So he was very pained that he heard Ishmael's wife talking like this. When he's still on the camel, he said, so when your husband comes home, just do me a favor, tell him, an old man showed up today from the land of Plishtim, and he was looking for you. So do me a favor, tell him the following message. The facade of your house, the entrance of your house, the doorway, doesn't look nice. You should replace it. So do me a favor, when he comes home, tell her, an old man came by and said that the door doesn't look so nice. You should replace it. Abraham went home. Okay. Shechazal Yishmael imimio, and Yishmael came home, sipralo ishto advarim. So, she told him what happened. You know, strangest thing happened today. Really? It was crazy. He wouldn't get out of the car. He opened the door. He said, lady, come over here.
Give me water.
Right. Can I have some water? It was so weird. And he said, he didn't like the door of the house. He said it was terrible. He said, you're the bed. They said anything. Yishmael shayah charif ma'od. Hevin shayah ze Abraham. He understood right away it was Abraham. V'chashav ulai lo itiachsai lav yafeh. And he knew exactly what happened. V'lo chakalo kavod. V'kach shamal asato v'shilach et Yishmael. And he divorced his wife. He got it. He got it right away and he divorced his wife. Kikach hevin et divrei Abraham. He understood what Abraham said. Misham halach Yishmael eretz Kenan. V'lakach misham isha shenikra'a Fatma. He found a woman named Fatima. Fatima. That's what he said. These are the midrashim. Very nice. I think Fatima. I don't know what it means. Anybody know it? What? No, that's fatwa. Fatima pitim pitum pitum aktaret Fatima. It means I think beautiful, lovely.
Fatima is very common.
Yeah.
Right. Which is
Fatima.
Right. Beautiful. Okay. Kavod shalosh shanim, 3 years later, you never heard this midrash, by the way, this isn't a Ma'am Lo'ed. It's like an unbelievable midrash, right? Chazar Avraham el Beno. So Avraham goes back. Ukafisha asa pam b'rishona asa achshav. And as he did the last time, he did this time. Aval b'yot ha'isha hazot tovat lev. Even though that this woman was a different woman. Lachen afapish Yishmael lo ayasham, even though Yishmael was not there, mishaba'a adam zaken, sheshoel abala, shibri amar hu enenu kan, kielach letzai. Again, he's not home, he's at work. Same thing. Aval, ein bekach klum. But no worries. Yaradin, eredna adoni, v'yikanes labayi, v'yanuach ba'at, v'yochal mashuhu, sh'arei bodai ayek b'nadev. come out of the car. Let me give you some water. Let me give you something to eat. You must be tired. It's a long road. Come on inside. But Abraham can't come inside. He promised again not to get off the camel. I can't stay. I've got a long way. I'm very old. I got to go home. Aval, give me a little water, right? I'm thirsty. So she gave him water. And we had Ratza Fatma. Fatma ran. She didn't bring water. She took out some, she made a little plate and she brought it for him. He said, take this on the road. Very nice. Beautiful, wonderful wife. Amar la. So he says, do me a favor. An old man came. What? From Eretz Yishin. This is the second time I'm here and I didn't find you. You have a beautiful doorway. Keep it. My Shmuel came home. Samach al sheishto kidat aviv. He was very, very happy. Okay? Shavikvar bikeres lo bet pa'amim. Listen to the rest of the Midrash. Ube'oto yom atzmo. That very day, halach im mishpachto le'eretz Plishtim, vayagar sham im aviv meshech chaf vav shana.
Wow.
That very day, says the Midrash, he returned home and lived with his father for 26 years.
Wow.
Can't help wondering how his wife
is happy.
This is a doormat.
Is that an unbelievable Midrash?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Meaning, can we believe it?
No. I don't know.
I don't know. It's crazy.
What's the point of that Midrash? Wow, there's so beautiful, so many beautiful messages in the Midrash. First of all, Avraham Avinu, he didn't throw away his son. He couldn't. He wouldn't. And so Rav Shechter, he says, the topic of the drash that he gave was, it's never too late. And he said, all of us have members of our family who we are estranged from. Huh. You know what he said? You would look around. He gave it to the rabbis. He gave this piece to us to use. He said, you look around the room, and everybody is there. Like, you know, like, either wants to cry because there's a child that they don't talk to, or a brother, or a sister, or a parent. Everyone has, you know, has some family who they're estranged from. And the point of his midrash was, the point that he brought it from was, it's never too late. Years pass. And if you only reach out and try to reconnect, you can't imagine the power of the effort. But if we look at it, we're learning it from the perspective of Chazar Rabbi Tshuva. Right? It's never too late to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that what Abraham did was, the way we would say it today, he maintained contact. Because deep down, even if Ishmael, when he was young, didn't want, didn't care, rejected and rebelled, and did the worst of things.
He did care.
He cared very much. You know, when his father sent him a coded message, you know, like he didn't even see him.
He didn't even know it was his father.
He divorced his wife and got another one. You know what I'm saying? And he was just waiting for that small thing. The seal of approval. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable midrash. And that's what brought Ishmael back. And obviously there's no clear answers. You know, but I do think that one terrible thing you can do is cut off contact. You know what I'm saying? The contact is so important. You can say, I don't agree. This is my belief. This is who I am. And these are the things that I believe in. And I feel that this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. But today, to say, Avraham sent away Ishmael, like this midrash sends a very, very different, powerful message. He sent him away, but he always cared, and he always loved him. Okay? And I'm going to need to read the Kli Yakar. See the Kli Yakar? I'm running out of time.
Does Ishmael go back then to his first wife and hurt them instead of the kids to check out them? I'm just saying,
where does it stop?
I'm just saying, there are issues with the midrash.
You're just cynical.
Right. No, I'm just saying that,
you know,
abandoned his wife and kids.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I
can't look at this and say what a wonderful midrash.
Really?
Yeah, because I think there are parts of it that you can say are wonderful, but like I said, at the expense of his you know,
his other family.
You can say his first, you know,
maybe his children could have been redeemed.
No, I'm just saying, if you take this more as fact, you could say maybe his first wife, you know, maybe it's appropriate she's not inviting strangers to come, strange men to come into the house.
Give him a thing, to give him water. You know, give him a cup, to give him some water to drink.
Yeah, she could do that.
Yeah, she could do that.
She could do that. But
she could bring the water to him.
Something about
she
doesn't.
You know what I say?
Well, I think she like Yishmael was the worst of the worst, right? And all well, she did was and.
Right. So I would say, I think that the answer to this question is that my answer is that when we see these things, we could. I think we take solace in knowing that it's nothing new. It's not a new phenomenon. You know what I'm saying? It's from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the idea of religiosity and a parent going in a certain way and being strong and passionate and an advocate. Children aren't always. They don't always. They're not clones of their parents. You know what I'm saying? And you do your best, and you do what you can do, and you try, and you hope, and you pray. And there's no easy answers. And perhaps, like I said, that's the scariest thing of all, for all of us. You know what I'm saying? You hope and you pray, and there's siyata d'shmaya, and there's mazal, and then the rest is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll stop here.